She's the first lady of talk radio, Jane Carroll.
Welcome back, everybody. As promised, our guest is Libby Crawford. Libby is a veteran of the pageant industry. She's been involved in scholarship contests. She's been involved in pageants that are just based on physical appearances as well. She knows that industry inside and out, and I thought she was the best person to have on today to talk to us about the changes in the Miss America pageant. And hi, Libby.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm fine. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Yes. For full disclosure, I need to share with my audience, I've been a judge in one of your pageants, the Mrs. Oregon pageant. I've also been a judge in the Miss America pageant in another state. And so I have a little experience, but nothing like you. You've been doing this for a long, long time.
I really have. I've been doing it. You know, I was thinking about that today. I started when I was 18 years old. Yeah. I'm now 55. So I've been involved in a long time.
Well, you're a great commercial for 55. You look fabulous. Oh, matter of fact, most people think you probably started off as a winner because you are a very attractive woman. But that's not what got you into it, is it?
No, actually, for me, as an 18-year-old, I really didn't have the life role models that I wanted in my life. And I turned to pageants. Somebody had told me about it. I was a dancer in high school. And so I used that opportunity to learn a whole lot about myself, because the pageant was not just about me up there dancing and winning a scholarship. It had a whole lot more about looking outside yourself, your community service, what kind of person you wanted to be as far as a career or goal-oriented person. It really does a lot more than one thinks.
Yeah, and I think the one that captured that and stressed that, I think, perhaps more than all others, was the Miss America pageant and the Mrs. America, because it wasn't just about how you looked in a swimsuit or in an evening gown. It was the whole package. And I, as a judge, I was just blown away at the quality of the young women involved. The research they'd done to put together their platform, how knowledgeable they had become, how poised they were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we tend to see on pageants, they use some example of somebody not so bright answering a question, and that becomes the parody of a pageant participant. And these women, they're prepared. They're better prepared than most presidential candidates.
They are. And here's what people have to go back into the history. In 1921, Miss America started as a Catalina swimsuit competition. And that's absolutely what it was. It was for Catalina to promote their swimsuits. And year after year, women from all over the country would compete in their swimsuit competition. Somewhere down the line, about 50, 55 years ago, Catalina wanted to strictly just do swimsuit, and Miss America wanted to do scholarships. So they broke apart. Catalina went and became Miss USA. And Miss America became its own entity. It still had the physical fitness portion of it, because the physical fitness portion, number one, was sponsored by another company, but it is so much more than just being fit. It is about determination, dedication, devotion to a healthy lifestyle and fitness. I mean, the job of Miss America, you have to be able to travel 20,000 miles in a year. If you're not physically fit, you can't do that job. Okay. So it, back in the day, it split apart. And the focus and the main scoring, unlike USA, where it's equal all around in all categories, the scoring is 35% on talent, 25% on interview. So over 50% of your score is completely aside from your physical fitness and your evening gown. Okay, yeah. So it's heavily weighed on your speaking ability, your talent ability, and it offered all those young ladies in the day that were classically trained in ballet and talent, piano, violin, singing, it offered them scholarship opportunities because there wasn't anything for them if they were not athletic.
Right. And this, as a judge, when I was talking to these young women, not only the women for Miss America, but Mrs. America too, these are women that take great pride in themselves, and we all think of, we think of, you know, the cattiness of women and the backstabbing, but a lot of these women support each other and become lifelong friends, and I was pleasantly surprised, Libby. I really was with what goes on between those women. Now, some of the mothers, they get a little weird, but the women themselves, I was impressed.
You know, and it is so true, the sisterhood and the camaraderie. It's like anything. Everybody sees the final product, the day of the pageant, the national pageant, but they don't see the volunteers at the local level, because in Miss America, you start winning by, okay, let's just say you win Miss Washington County, okay? And so that's your local pageant. Then you have to go on to a state competition and win Miss Oregon. Then you go on to Miss America. What they don't see are the numbers of hours in preparation from volunteers and board members who are all non-paid that put in mentorship to these young ladies. And these young ladies do things together as a team, and they become friends for life. I mean, I remember going to a Miss America wedding and seeing all her bridesmaids were from Miss America.
Yeah. It's a sisterhood, and it's much like, because they've all been through it, the same experience, and most of them don't win. So it is only one at a time, and most of them don't win, but most of them would do it again, because it was so.
Oh, and they do, Jane, you've seen that. They, you know, some girls have paid for college and not have won the state title. Okay, because every local they win scholarship money. And some girls have competed 6-7 times at local pageants, have never won the state title, but were able to pay for their college.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, and it's a scholarship for women. And somebody said, well, somebody was sort of joking with me last week, you know, I think it's unfair to, you know, give out a scholarship for brains, because that's given from God, and sort of doing a parody on the good looks. But these women that are attractive, that and at their best when they're running for Miss America, that's something that they takes a lot of work too. They don't come out of the box like that, and so it's a pride in their appearance. But I've always said it's just sort of the same thing you should do to get ready to go for a job interview. You want to look your best. You want to be at your most articulate. You want to know, have done your homework, so you know who's interviewing you. I was so impressed with these young women, and they knew everything about the judges.
Well, and can I say something about the beauty part? Beauty's relative. It's different for everyone. And that's why they have panels of judges that are all different from all different walks of life, who see beauty in different ways. And Jane, I have seen women come where they've caught my eye, and as a professional in the business, I'm like, wow, she's the package, until she opens her mouth. And I've seen somebody who is very well put together, but I think, oh, I don't know, and she opens her mouth, and she starts going to the top of my list. So, you know, when people say that we're judging these women on the beauty aspects, I'm going to go back again to, you're seeing the final product of years and years of prep, and especially in the interview portion, the confidence, the poise, the articulation, the charisma, the confidence, that's what rises them to the top, not their face and how well they can put on their makeup.
Yeah, the other thing that I was impressed with is the way the judges are put together. The judges are people that are successful in their realms, are capable of asking questions that will bring out the best or the worst in these people. But without exception, I was saying, you know, most of these women, you go, those are future CEOs.
Right.
Those are women that are going to be the head of, you know, United Way. These are people that are going to go far in whatever they do, because they're very disciplined. They're hardworking. And I want to get a little bit, some psychoanalysis here, or some or history. You know, one of the problems I think with beauty pageants per se is most people think it's just based on looks. And you do you do have to be a certain standard of physical attractiveness, or it's not going to happen. We got to be honest about that.
Right.
But I think one of the problems, Libby, is men have always competed with each other. That's the nature of the beast, and that's women. When we competed, historically speaking, now is we competed for men. Your basic, the survival of the fittest, of the most attractive. You were trying to compete for the best husband, the most successful husband. That was the way a woman achieved stature, was by who she married, and so we've sort of been historically pitted against each other more often than not on our looks, and that's not true anymore. That's no. Women can make it on their own. They can. They don't need a man to have stature. Women can do whatever they want to be. So right. In this age, the look thing is not as important as the entire package. Yet I think we do still have that reservoir of well, if somebody is more attractive than I am physically, they're going to get more out of life than I am. And that's just not true anymore.
No, it isn't. And I have to tell you that a friend of mine wrote a book about that, about how hard it is being pretty. Because you are pretty much judged down and kind of dumbed down. You didn't get where you are. I mean, I get it as a stay-at-home mom. I get it that I just married into it.
Yeah.
The people that really know me completely different than someone like that. And I know myself differently. But it is it's a struggle to be judged in that manner of already judged the minute you walk into the room that, you know, it's easy for you. You don't understand. You've never had to work for it. And right. Believe me, I was not a pretty girl. I've evolved into myself because I've learned how to dress successfully for my body type, how to do the hair and makeup appropriate to what looks good on me. And it's all individual. And so these women, like you said, they're not only accomplished, they're beautiful, but they've learned how to adapt to that, you know, to make that for themselves, not for anybody else anymore. They're not doing it for a husband, they're doing it for themselves.
Right. And so it's a very different climate than that. But I think the reservoir of that feeling of competition between women is and, you know, men have it too. I mean, and for example, the star athlete in high school is the superstar. Now, that person may have ended up at the bottom of the heap 20 years later, but we all have different times of life. But women, it was always based on who you married for the most part. Right. And that's not, you know, most women aren't getting, they're not getting married anymore.
Yeah, there's no MRS degrees in college anymore.
No, most of the people that go to college are women now. Most of the women, people in law schools are women. Most of the people in medical school are women.
Right.
We're sort of pushing men off out of the, which is a whole other show. But right. it's a bad thing. And so the idea that that Miss America, a scholarship pageant for a well-rounded, attractive women, and made more attractive by the development of their brains, their bodies, and their capacity to communicate is, mm-hmm. I think, a wonderful experience. But let's talk about the future of Miss America.
Right.
It's just this direction. I think it's pretty much over. What do you think?
Well, and I would hope not. And trying to be optimistic, I hope there is enough of us that will speak out against these changes. Because I equate it to a triathlon. You would never tell a triathlete, okay, we're going to get rid of swimming and bicycle and it's just going to be running. Well, there's marathons for that, okay? They signed up to be in a triathlon. These ladies signed up for that well-rounded balance. Some may be strong in talent and not so great in interview, and so their talent supersedes, you know, their talent kind of gives them the extra points, or maybe their swimsuit is the edge or the evening gown is the edge. It's all a composite score. You take those elements out, you might as well just have Miss America Got Talent, because that's all you're going to have. These ladies thrive and enjoy this tri-level competition, the interview, the talent, and the appearance which is the evening gown and the lifestyle and fitness. And so they thrive on that. And you take those traditional since 1940, 50, when they switched it up, you take that tradition away, what do you have? You have just a talent competition. Well, that's not what Miss America ever embodied. And the young ladies that I'm talking to now that are competing for the local state pageant here in Oregon coming up in the end of June, July, they are disheartened. They have worked many, many hours on working out,
years
doing their interviews. Yes, exactly. Perfecting their talent, being that well-rounded woman who is Miss America. They're distraught. They just don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's one of those. How much of the money that goes into the scholarships is generated from the television revenue? Because I imagine it's substantial.
So $45 million in cash awards and scholarships is given out to the ladies, and that's from their own website is what they say. But that's just, I think that is the accumulation of all, like, through the state pageants and everything like that.
Sponsorships, right. Et cetera, right.
But here's another thing. So, and this is what I'm curious to find out how Gretchen will handle this, Gretchen Carlson, who's now the CEO. The Children's Miracle Network is one of the biggest fundraisers, and every local young lady that competes, like at Washington County, has to procure a certain amount of money for Children's Miracle Network, and then when they go on to Miss Oregon, they have to procure a certain amount. And then a percentage of what that state procures goes back into the state program. And the same, it was like I believe it was a 60-40 split, Children Miracle Network getting 40% of the revenue and Miss America getting 60. I'm wondering if Children's Miracle Network is now going to pull themselves.
Well, that's one of the things that is disheartening, because it is a scholarship program. And as you say, so many young women have benefited in their lives by going to college because of these scholarships.
Right.
That will probably go away.
Right.
And because there are many other scholarships. I got some of those scholarships that weren't based on your looks. They were based on your academic achievements, your community involvement. But as Miss America is as well, you don't get to be Miss America if you have bad grades. You don't get to be Miss America if you have a bad character. You don't get to be Miss America if you are somebody that hasn't been involved in your community in a significant way. I mean, these are young women that, for the most part, are leap years ahead of most of their counterparts, not just in how they look, but in what they do.
Well, and so, sorry to interrupt. Miss America, you know, when Gretchen Carlson took over, you know, she hired that young and Rubicam, who apparently went and did all these...
A public relations agency, right?
Yes. And they went and conducted all these interviews. And the feedback they got was they wanted it to be more modernized to young women. And I agree with that, because for a while it got a little stale, kind of like the old time, here she is, you know, it needed to kind of be updated. They wanted more focus on the achievements of what past Miss Americas have done, or past state titles, you know, more emphasis on promoting that. And they did think that the swimsuit competition distracted a little bit from the message. Where Gretchen got get rid of the swimsuit competition and change the evening gown competition from that information, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Because the swimsuit could have been changed to athletic wear. Side note, they own Outstanding Teen, Miss Outstanding Teen, Miss America's Outstanding Teen, who has left the aerobic wear and the evening gown in their competitions.
Yeah, and so it's and I think we do like to watch people who are excel, and we like, and I think the part about it too with the Miss America is, you know, you root for your state.
Yes.
You get your sort of local and you want to cheer them on. And it's something, I watched Miss America when I was a little girl, and yep. You know, and families do it together, and they watched and they cheered them on, and you felt like you knew that person, and it's a year's service, and it's it's some of them went on to great heights. Many of them went on to, you know, careers or family members active in their community. These are people that tend to be excel. And so it's always good to, you know, it was a good role model for young women. You looked at it and said, you know, this is, if you can do this kind of thing. I think the emphasis on is a lot of young women look at it and go, I could never do that because I'm not that as pretty as they are. And what you're saying, and I think this is really important, a lot of those young women are not as pretty as they have become by learning to how to be, you do have to be physically fit. I mean, that is an important part of being, and like you say, it's sort of a prerequisite of the job because it's a grueling physical job.
Right. And you know what? It's funny. If you look back on some of these Miss Americas who, when they started and when they won their title, the differences, and I can even just attest to Katie Harmon, from when she started to when she won Miss America was a complete growth for her in 2 years. She was such a different person by the time she won Miss America. And that's what this program does. It teaches you that growth. It teaches you, you know, to watch them be so proud of themselves, of how hard they worked for their body type and got into that healthy lifestyle and that fitness of their body type, and strut on that stage so proud for what they've done, is such a confidence boost. They feel so good and they feel they can conquer the world. What's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with
that. And the other thing that I found was the ones that didn't win, you sort of think, oh, they feel rejected. That isn't the way they feel. No. The fact that they went through it, did it, and you know,
they come back because they said, I see what she had that I didn't have. They self-evaluate and they go back and make the changes so that they're successful. And maybe they were 10th place or didn't make top 10. And the next year they made top 10. And then the next year they made top 5 or they won non-finalist interview. And I mean, there's scholarships for all those different things. There's scholarship for best in evening gown. There's scholarships for best in swimsuit. So you take all that away, you're taking the essence of it's like taking a crown and taking the jewels out. It doesn't sparkle anymore. You know?
Yeah. No, I know. And it's so if people wanted to express either pro or con for the changes, what would you recommend?
I think that what we need to do is we need to Twitter at Gretchen Carlson. We need to send actual letters to Miss America, call Miss America corporate. And I think we need to really maybe call your local and state pageants, but I think it needs to get to Gretchen somehow. And maybe go to Young and Rubicam, who's their PR firm, and let them know this is not what we want as Americans. We have to not, in a world today, which is kind of weird, somebody will just make a change and then everybody will just kind of follow in line and say, oh, that's okay. Let's stand up and say, you know what? Enough's enough. We've changed enough. This is what we want. And I think some of the girls are afraid to balk because they're afraid that it's going to count against them. You see?
Yeah, I can imagine because they're fearful that they're going to be, they are very polished. They're smart. They're articulate, but they're still kids. And there's a lot of protection of them by the program, which I like. And it looks out for them in a paternal and maternal way for those young people. They're very protected, and I like that because the judges are very sensitive to it. I think that's why when the scandal hit that some people had not been treating them properly, which you're going to have an organization this big and this long, it's probably with pretty women is probably going to happen. It happens in almost every work environment, and that's unfortunate. So I think it created the climate for this, but this isn't what people watch for, and the ratings are going away. And it's sort of the way I feel about the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts, they're taking boy out of Scouts, and I think they're taking the mission out of young men learning traditional male American male values from other men who exemplify the best, and that's unfortunate. I really appreciate your time, Libby Crawford, of veteran. And by the way, Katie Harmon, Miss Oregon, who became Miss America, is she could have gone on American Idol and won. I mean, she's that talented. Most of the candidates for Miss America are not that. They couldn't win American Idol because that's based solely on your talent. But Katie could have. And the fact that she was insecure and the rest of the package gave her that confidence is a testimonial to the fact that these things, if handled properly and done well and sensitively, can be a tremendous asset and a great scholarship program for young women. And it's sad to see it be jeopardized. So if you want to go to Twitter, or any other way of letting Miss America know if you agree. Now, a lot of people think it's passé and it didn't have any value, but I wanted people to hear what you had to say because you are somebody who has helped make the process a good one, and you were a beneficiary of it as well. And we're proud of you, Libby.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on so I could give it a voice.
Thank you so much. Okay. Libby Crawford, if you're involved in that world here, at an international level, even Libby has been involved, and she's one of those people that introduced me to it, and I had other people that asked me to get involved in Miss America per se, and I loved the experience. I loved being a judge in Miss America pageant, and I was surprised at the quality of the people and the people involved and the program and how they were handled. We're going to be back after these messages.